Got a third drunk driving charge on April 15th of 1993. And it was the greatest day of my life at that point, because I said, I'm done with this life. And for the next, what, almost three decades now, I've remained sober, started a nonprofit called Racing for Recovery, done 98 Ironmans. I'm a licensed clinician, written a couple of books, and I've been on the process for a long time of healing and living my best life and helping others do the same. Times I've related is your currency.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Eat Green, Make Green podcast. This is Pat McCauley, as always. My guest this week is the very inspirational Todd Crandall. So I am up at Ironman 70.3 Maine this past weekend. I'm in a mosh pit, literally, of 2,000 plus people about to start the swim for the event. And I'm in my Plant Pub tri-suit, so the back says, eat plants, drink beer on it. And I get a tap on the shoulder from this dude, and I turn around. He's like, hey, you vegan? And we strike up a conversation, and I kind of get a little hint of his story. He's also a vegan of many years and a sober dude, and his tri-suit said Racing for Recovery, which is his organization. So I got a little hint of his story before we, you know, both hopped in for the swim. I was like, I got to have you on the show and learn more about what you're doing. And I learned that Ironman Maine he was hopping in the water for his 98th Ironman triathlon. He'll do his 100th at Kona, which is kind of the world famous triathlon in the Ironman world in the fall. And that will be his 100th triathlon. And really just races as a means to inspire people what is possible when they choose to overcome their addiction and remove substances from their life. And I believe he often says, you know, anything is possible when you're sober. So just an incredible story and an incredible inspiration. And what a tribute to the power of plants and the power of sobriety. I mean, this dude's in his 50s. You know, I had to catch him on the bike, and the only reason I caught him was because he dropped a chain. So I saw him on the side of the road adjusting his chain, getting his chain back on, and I went by him. But otherwise, who knows if I even would have caught the guy. So, I mean, what an inspiration and what a story and what a beautiful mission. I'm going to leave links to Racing for Recovery, an incredible program that he founded and runs that really works holistically with trying to get people sober and keeping them in recovery. And so he also has many books. He's working on a film about his life and many other things. Again, I'll leave all links to his website and everything, but this is super inspirational. Again, like a fateful meeting. So just love sharing stories like this and meeting people like this. I will let him tell the rest here. Without further ado, the inspirational Todd Crandall. Times I've related is your currency.
Oh, you can spend it how you like. All right, yeah, man. I'm so pumped we bumped into each other. Yeah, that's one of those things like where they're meant to be. You know, that's one of the things I've loved about Ironman is the people I've met, and then somehow something comes of it, either through my nonprofit Racing for Recovery or vegan stuff or a friendship, or I love that. So there is no doubt in my mind that we met for a reason. And here we are, what, 3 days later, I'm on your podcast. So very cool.
Yeah, totally, man. And to be like fully honest, you know, like we literally just met. I have very briefly, you know, checked out your social media and looked on your website and everything. But this will really be like a very authentic me getting to know your story, which should be pretty cool for people listening.
Likewise.
Yeah, because I have a ton of questions for you as well. So I think this, I love the authenticity of this, as you said, because it's not scripted. You didn't send me a bunch of questions beforehand. We're, you know, I only talked to you for what, maybe 3 minutes before we started the race. And here we are. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. So give me the rundown. Give me like where originally from, like, you know, life growing up. Give us some of kind of the way back stuff.
Well, I'm born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. I'm 55, so I've lived there, you know, my entire life. And I think everything that I'm doing today is a result of my mom killing herself when I was 3 from her drug addiction. My uncle killed himself from drugs. My aunt killed herself because of a food addiction. So there's 3 out of 4 kids on that family that all suicided, and 2 of them were addicted to drugs. So the logical question there is, well, what the hell was going on in that household? And I don't even want to speculate what was going on. So trauma is a big part of why people are eating too much, drinking too much, gambling too much, whatever. And I certainly fell into that category. I started off as a young kid. I was an avid hockey player. Thought I could do something with hockey, made the choice to get involved with drugs and alcohol. And for the next 13 years, it was all the crap that comes with addiction. Got a 3rd drunk driving charge on April 15th of 1993. And it was the greatest day of my life at that point, because I said, I'm done with this life. And for the next, almost 3 decades now, I've remained sober, started a nonprofit called Racing for Recovery. Done 98 Ironmans. I'm a licensed clinician, written a couple of books, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So normal childhood, except for losing my mom. Other than that, terrific childhood, great friends, great community, money in my pocket, nice clothes, but just emotionally was not well. And I've been on the process for a long time of healing and living my best life and helping others do the same.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. So I have a follow-up question to the moment when you got the 3rd DUI and the decision to obviously make a change. And I think, at least, you know, I come from a family with addiction runs rampant as well. And, you know, when you see a loved one in that state, all you want to do is help. And I've learned kind of the hard way over the years that there's not much you can do to help. And it's not until somebody's ready that they're actually ready and they'll actually take action. But do you have, like, maybe you can speak on, like, when everybody around you wants to help you and wants to pull you out of that, like what that feels like and why, like, that often doesn't help?
Beautiful question. So one of the unique things about Racing for Recovery is I wanted to start something that could offer education, clinical expertise, and support for everybody who's been affected by addiction. Because currently, or back prior to 2001, when I started all this, if you had a drug or alcohol problem, you went to rehab for 30 days and that was supposed to magically cure you. Your family sat in some other smoke-filled room and they talked about how devastating their alcoholic was. And nobody really understood what the other was going through. So I wanted to put everybody together. And to answer your question more specifically, at the end of my addiction, I lived with my dad's mom, my grandmother, who passed away, be 10 years this October. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be alive today. But I can remember her patting me on the back as my head was in her toilet puking from whatever I was doing. And she would say, "You're going to beat this thing. You're going to beat this thing." And I remember saying to her, "No, Grandma, I'm not. It's killing me." And it hurt me to have her hurt over what I was doing to myself. I'm not a believer that addiction is a disease. Yes, I think we're genetically predisposed to addiction, but if we don't make the choice to use drugs, there's no disease. So I was choosing to screw my life up. And my grandma, My parents, my friends, and my community suffered as a result of that. So the more that they tried to help me, the guiltier I felt and the more I drank. Because I would manipulate them for a while, and then I would feel guilty about doing that and give them some stupid story about how I was sober for a couple of days and this time I really meant it, and I would screw it up again. And it hurt everybody, including myself. So the beauty of all of this is when you decide to change for yourself, not only are you going to get better, your family and friends are going to reap the benefits of what you are now choosing to do, as opposed to what you were choosing prior that is killing your friends and family.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers your question in that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How do you sort of think about, obviously you talk about this stuff and it is part of your life mission now. How do you sort of knock down the stigmas around it in the idea that, you know, alcoholics or drug addicts or bums or that sort of thing? How do you talk with people about that don't understand?
I know we'll get into our vegan stuff, but when I saw your, by the way, I love the white outfit you wore on Sunday, dude. That's killer. I get a lot of crap from people. What are you wearing the white for? It's like, because it's great looking. Anyway, when I saw your thing about eat plants and drink beer, I'm reading that at first and I'm like, I like this guy. And right away, I'm like, he's not like me with this. But to relate them, you know how much crap we take for being vegan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with addiction, man. You know, people look at you as your one thing. They label you, you're whatever. And my mission has been with respect to alcohol and drugs, it's with sobriety, anything is possible, man. People that are using drugs and alcohol are not bad people. They're hurting people that are making bad decisions to deal with that hurt. But I have never met a more intelligent, funny, artistic, just great overall people that I have from the addiction community. And we talk about, you know, live and let live and including all races and everything. And it's like, so why do we discriminate somebody who's just killing themselves with drugs and alcohol? So all I'm trying to be in my life is an example of what you can do when you choose sobriety over choosing addiction. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not here to preach to anybody about their lifestyle. I'm just here to say what you think of us. Let's turn the page and look at the reality of us. And that same concept is applicable to vegan stuff, as you know.
For sure. That is my approach. Let me just, in my early days, I talked about it a lot. And now I'm just like, I'm just going to walk the walk. And if you're interested in what I'm doing and you respect what I'm doing, maybe you'll consider.
Great. Yeah. I got to share this with you, man. I posted something. I've got a fourth book coming out that is going to be strictly vegan stuff. And I love it because it's not my opinion. It's facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I posted this stuff about cheese, what cheese is, mm-hmm. how horrible it is for our bodies, what we do to the animal. It's rape. We are raping animals so we can put coagulated cow pus into our bodies, right? And some guy messaged me and he said, Todd, I've been following you for years, but I respectfully, or no, he didn't say respectfully. He goes, I disagree. And I'm here to tell you how healthy cheese is. And I just get these things. And I'm like, dude, your opinion, I respect it, but I'm sorry. It's not factual. And I love when I try and get people that try and convince me that whatever I'm doing at 55 that seems to be working is wrong somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. As you go on your 90, whatever Ironman here.
Yeah.
But anyway, to come back to that, how did this past weekend go? Because I saw, I don't know if you realized it was me, but I'm sure a bunch of guys asked you if you were all right, because I saw you were having a bike issue at one point. I rode by you.
Yep. I heard
How'd the day go?
I dropped my chain twice on Sunday and it keeps happening. And no offense to Trek, I love Trek bikes, but it's something I'm probably doing. But I just, I dropped my chain. The unfortunate part was I was on a steep incline, if you remember.
Yeah.
And it was a little hard to get going again, but you flew by me like I was just standing still, but I heard you. and I saw your finish, man. You look good, man. You look really good finishing. So, I crossed the finish line. I'm not really concerned about my times. I think I did I don't even know what it was, a 5:51 or something, but I really don't, I'm not into my time anymore. I'm doing this for so many other reasons. I'm not good at Ironman. I just find a way to get to the line, and that's what counts.
Yeah, that's amazing. So tell me how all the endurance stuff started, and why did you feel like this was a path to, you know, set the example for people and be a pillar of what's possible as a sober dude?
Wow. We're from Boston, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got my first pair of goalie skates at the old Boston Garden, as they say. I mean, back when I think I was 10, which you weren't even contemplating being on this earth yet. But so like I said before, hockey was my thing. And, I threw it away. And I remember during my addiction, I saw Ironman Hawaii on television, and I had an array of drugs in front of me, and I'm doing whatever, and I'm watching it on television. And I said to a friend of mine that was sitting there, I go, yeah, man, I want to, I'd like to do that someday. And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? Look at yourself right now, you know? But it was a seed that was planted. And I used to watch my stepmom run marathons, and she had done a couple triathlons. And I'm like, man, that looks cool. So after I got sober, I played hockey for a little while to answer my what if question. And then I thought, you know what? I want to try that Ironman thing. So I signed up for Ironman Florida, the inaugural race back in 1999. I didn't own a bike. I hated to run and didn't know how to swim. But I said, I'm going to do that. And like anything in life, when you put your mind to something, you will do it. And I started doing Ironmans. And then, 2001, I came back from Ironman New Zealand. Our local newspaper ran a story about my life. And that is what was the catalyst to start Racing for Recovery. That has been now my life's purpose, or one of my life's purposes, in addition to still being able to literally travel the world doing these extraordinary events, man. It's been great. I've turned really my passion for fitness, my passion for music, I've turned it into a lifestyle that has not only helped me, but it's helped tens of thousands of people around the world. So it's a blessing. It's awesome, man. I thank Ironman profusely for being what it is, because it's enabled me to be who I am.
Mm. I love that. I know a few people in the endurance sports world. And to be honest, many of my closest friends who I train with are sober, you know, that are in recovery, have, you know, I don't want to say similar stories, but similar stories in a sense. And there is like often a debate of like, are they now, have they just picked up like a new addiction? And there's that whole debate. And I hear that often when people talk about recovery and then endurance sports and things like that. How do you view that?
You know, I used to say I was doing a lot of media and had a publicist follow me around, actually, when I was out in Boston. And I kept saying, I've taken one addiction, a negative addiction, and turned it into a positive one. And she said, Todd, you got to rephrase that. Mm. And she suggested that I say, I've taken a negative addiction and turned it into a new focus, which is accurate. Now, having said that, first and foremost, I would much rather have people being addicted to health and fitness than being addicted to cocaine. Mm-hmm. So if they want to call it a new addiction, okay, I'll give that to you. I have been out of balance at times where Ironman, because it was part of my job, so to speak, I was out of balance with it. And I suffered from that. I lost a marriage eventually over it. I learned some valuable lessons of that about myself. So I believe that you can enjoy Ironman without it being an obsession, or taking the place of some things that are really important in your life, like your friends and family. Mm-hmm. Because look, I don't know. Well, I don't know if you're getting paid to do these or not, but most people are not. So until you're getting a paycheck, relax, right? Just relax, man. You know, the fact that you improve 10 seconds in your transition time is not world food. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I got to tell you this funny story. I was racing in Mexico. God, this is, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And a guy came up to me in transition and he goes, "Hey, you're Todd Crandall." And I just said, "You know, nice to meet you." And he goes, "I beat you at such and such race." And I listened to him for a while. And I said, "Hey man, don't put that on a resume because everybody beats me. I'm not very good at these things." And I could just tell it like almost deflated him. And I didn't mean it to be, you know, like a smart ass. I meant to say, this isn't my life, man. It's something I do. And that's really helped me stay in this for, I think this is my 23rd year doing them. And I'm in it for the long haul, not a quick blast where I can say I did really well and then I burned myself out. That's not what I wanted to do.
Mm. Yeah, I love it. So how does a nonprofit play in to all this? And is there a connection between the racing and the nonprofit every time you go do an event?
Well, I promote Racing for Recovery by doing Ironmans. We have a new documentary coming out called The Road to 100 with my pursuit of doing 100 Ironmans, which I had no intentions of doing. Somebody just asked me a couple of years ago, "Are you trying to get to 100? And I thought, well, no, but yes, I guess I could do that. So it's a vehicle to promote Racing for Recovery, which is not about Ironman. Racing for Recovery offers clinical counseling on an individual, a family perspective. We have recovery housing. We have unique support group meetings. We're the first ever program that has a live stream support group meeting, again, for everybody who's affected by addiction. We have educational groups. We have a vegan chef. We have a spirituality aspect of it. We have two different gyms. We do yoga. This is about a balanced, holistic lifestyle that exercise is a part of. And for a very small group of people, some of them have actually done Ironmans, but it is not about doing Ironman. My message is not saying you have to do Ironman to achieve sobriety. My message is, yes, I've done a few Ironmans. How can you take that Ironman and make it applicable to whatever it is you want to do?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So where are the physical locations?
We have an office in Holland, Ohio. We just purchased the building. This is a unique story. My former hockey coach doesn't like it when I tell it, but I'm going to. So for 15 years, I operated Racing for Recovery basically out of my house and then held support group meetings at different churches. And we were always looking for a building, but we didn't have any money. And my former hockey coach bought us a building that was, it was $1 million building. And he said, "Go do what you have to do to turn it into a business." And I did that. And for the past 6 years, we've been working our butts off and we just bought the building back from him, which, God, that makes me feel so good, man. I appreciate you asking me that question because I think I'm more proud of that than any of the Ironmans I've ever done. So now we own our own building. It's totally ours and we're free to do what we're doing as a unit to help people globally. And I'm happy about that.
It's incredible, dude. That's incredible. So let's get into the vegan stuff. At what point does this creep in? Was this right around the time you go sober or when does all this start?
No, honestly, I'm embarrassed to say that I was a vegetarian, which is just another way of trying to kill yourself really with food. But I haven't had a steak in like 30 years, but I ate hamburgers occasionally. I ate, it's tough even saying this. I ate chicken sparingly. I ate a ton of fish, but I ate a ton of cheese, man, cheese and yogurt and stuff. And I thought I was healthy. And on February 1st of 2016, I watched a couple of movies on Netflix, you know, Knives Over Forks or Forks Over Knives, whatever it is, and a couple other things. I saw some videos of some things that happened to animals. And I'm not embarrassed to say this. I literally cried as a, 49-year-old man. I cried and I said, I can't be a part of this. I won't be a part of it. And it was like another sobriety day. And I quit. And I started getting educated on what we're doing to our environment, what we're doing to our bodies, the economic impact that the meat and dairy industry has. The bull crap facade behind the marketing and how milk does a body good. And just, it's horrific. I mean, let's keep in mind, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, we used to think that slavery was normal. Okay. We used to think that women that couldn't vote was normal. We used to think that smoking was normal. Someday we're going to look back at what we've done with animals and we're going to be ashamed of ourselves as a society. And I'm hope I'm around to see that because it's horrific and I want no part of it. And just like I am with sobriety, I'm not preaching to people, but I am very stern. I'm very factual and I'm very direct. And I'm not into having arguments on opinions because your opinion doesn't mean a thing to me. Facts are what counts in this. And I'm thankful that I really think that forming Racing for Recovery gave me my life's purpose to become vegan, which truly is I really believe that that's my mission. I haven't quite figured out what I want to do with this or how to do it, but I know I want to be a part of the vegan movement for the rest of my life.
So I had a friend on, his name's Adam Sudd. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's called, I forget his handle. I'll send you his information, but he's doing the first ever study with a bunch of really incredible doctors on a plant-based diet's impact on addiction recovery. And it's super interesting, the results they're getting in terms of people sticking with, staying in recovery more consistently and longer because they feel better. You know, they're taking other health steps along with it and all the things that come with that.
I want to meet them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll connect you.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I want him in my new book on this stuff. That's exactly what I'm trying to show because people will ask me, and I'm sure you get this too. They're like, oh my God, you're 55. You look so good. Or, oh my God, you've done 90 whatever Ironmans. How do you do that? And it's pretty simple. It's what I eat and it's what I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do I mean? You know?
Yeah. So the I completely agree. Like the endurance stuff for me, like I'm a ex-college football player. Like the endurance wasn't even a thing for me. But when I switched to plant-based, like you just have all this energy and I feel so good. And I want to move my body every day. And because I want to do that and I want to get moving, it's just like slowly led to me being able to do these endurance things without, obviously effort, but it's pretty routine now to go run a, mountain marathon, it doesn't take much for me anymore.
Yeah.
And it all started with just changing what I was eating and what I wasn't. Exactly.
Well, tell me why, and I got to have you on my show or whatever, so tell me what made you, as I call it, see the light. What happened there?
Yeah, so I was around 25. This is like 7 years ago now. And I wasn't feeling great. Like I always followed, again, like was a college football player, high protein diet. You know, for me, that was eggs in the morning, chicken for lunch, steak for dinner sort of way of living. And always super fit, always a dedicated person to fitness and, was always the fittest guy on my teams. And even, post-school when I was in the working world, fittest guy you could find and was just doing CrossFit type, workouts and that sort of thing. But I had all these things that came along with the foods I was eating. I looked great. I was, a good athlete and everything, but I had asthma that I had had since a little kid. I started developing arthritis. I had some skin issues, a few other bodily things I won't mention. And, you know, it's the definition of insanity to keep trying this high protein way of eating and not feel better or not feel like I have control over those things. And the wild thing to me, once I like had the aha moment, it started for me with just like changing my eggs for a green smoothie. I found a dude on social media who was all ripped up. I was like, there's no way this guy eats fruit and vegetables all day, you know, because my mindset was just totally different. But I was like, all right, like, let me try something. And I just changed my breakfast for a big green smoothie. I had already gotten rid of dairy just because it didn't feel right. I didn't think it was healthy way back when to begin with. So it was like my first 100% whole plant food meal. And I think a smoothie is a great way to feel like the real benefits of fruit and vegetable. And man, how that felt in my body for my morning workout and how that felt throughout the day. And, you know, I wasn't doing the second cup of coffee pretty soon in the afternoon. And I just went on this run of like months of smoothies because it felt so good in my body. Right. And, you know, and then went really, really hardcore whole food, plant-based, like everything whole food. And 6 months later, you know, those things since, you know, I'd go to the doctors for since I was 3 years old that I had the inhaler for and the EpiPen for and the pill for my inflammation and all that, completely gone, you know? And it was such a shocking thing for me because, you know, nobody ever presented me with this information. Like I was the disciplined dude that was eating what I was told and what every trainer ever told me, every coach ever told me, every doctor ever told me, you know? And the fact that I discovered this on my own, I was just so shocked. Like, you know, like it would have been incredible if I met somebody that said, hey, dude, you can take the inhaler and keep eating and living the way you are, or you can change what's causing the problem. And no one ever in my 25 years on earth, you know, introduced me to that concept and how powerful food is.
Cause there's no money in it for them.
I know. Right? I know that's a whole nother. Yeah. That's a whole nother issue. But,
and isn't it mind boggling? And you said this, that no one brought it up. Doctors, and I'm not criticizing them. They're brilliant people, but they get no more than what, 2.5 hours of nutritional training, their entire medical school program. But yet we're going to go to a doctor for nutritional training. I might as well go to my mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Know?
Right. So yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what started it all for me. I started talking about it. I started this show. I wrote a book. And then I aligned, you know, now I have this that you saw, Plant Pub, yeah. You know, in my goal with that is really just to welcome people in, you know, for the dudes that used to be like me, that would never walk into a vegan spot or like a health food store. Like, how do I welcome that guy in, right? To just open up his mind to what plant-based food can be. Right. And to me, that's beer and that's pub food. And if they can come in and have something that like they're totally used to, a burger or pizza, and then after the fact realize it was 100% plant-based and go, wow, maybe that is something I can venture into.
Awesome. I love it.
That's really my goal with that.
Yep. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your Ironman history and like what you want to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how we're flipping. This is good.
I'm interviewing you now. Right?
So that was my second Ironman event. I've done a few smaller like sprint triathlons, but I did Timberman last year in New Hampshire.
Yep.
And then that was my second one this year. And yeah, man, I want to definitely keep going. I have kind of the same mindset. It's not like, you know, life and my business are certainly first. But you know, I want to keep going with it. And I very much like you am taking like a long-term approach. You know, I want to be doing these when I'm your age, you know, and setting an example as I get older and keep rolling and keep improving. And, you know, I just feel like I will always be an athlete of some kind. It's just a part of me I love and have grown up with. And I feel like when I'm an athlete and when I'm training for something, that all the other areas of my life are better. You know, I'm not having the second beer when I'm at dinner with somebody, or I'm not having a beer at all, or I'm saying no to something that's a waste of my time because I'm up at 5 a.m. So it just dials everything in for me, and all the other areas that I care about, I think flourish as a result of it.
Right on. You know, I get a lot of compliments, which I'm thankful for, but to hear you say, I want to do these when I'm your age, I'm like, wow.
Dude, for the record, I had to catch you on the bike. And the only reason I caught you was because you dropped a chain. So, I mean, come on.
Well, I tried.
And we started the swim roughly at the same time, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to catch you. And I'm like, man, he's got youth on his side. Forget it. You know, but I heard you. I heard you going by. That was great. Yeah, man. You know, if there's anything I can ever help you with Ironman stuff, I can tell you more of what not to do as opposed what to do, mm-hmm. God, I made so many mistakes in this stuff, but as long as you're eating plants, that's all you really need to know. Anyways, the rest kind of works itself out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So you have done, so talk to me about like the number in this new documentary that you're doing. You're at 96 or 98, did you say?
I'm at 99. I'll do 99 Saturday here in Boulder, and then next up is 100 in Kona, October 8th.
Wow, huh? So Kona, like full distance Kona, right?
Yeah, I've done three Konas. I did the Ultraman in Kona, and then I've done the half Ironman in Kona. That island is, it's magical. I've been to a lot of places in the world, man, and there's something about that island. The vibe out there is, it's amazing, but you can't mess with it. You know, people that want to take some sand home or take some, it's like, leave it alone. Just be grateful you're there. Let it creep in. But yeah, I've been very fortunate to be out there several times, and to do my 100th race out there is going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. How long did it take you to get to Kona your first time?
Well, again, not being very good, but playing by the rules, I won the lottery to it twice. I won the lottery in 2006. My sobriety date is April 15th and my daughter's birthday is April 15th, which is pretty cool. They used to announce the lottery on April 15th of every year. And I won it in 2006. I won it in 2012. And then I've been able to do it through the Ironman Foundation in 2019. And then again in 2022. And this will be my last full distance Ironman. And it's probably going to be the last. Well, I know it'll be the last time I do Kona at that level. It's just, how many times do you need to do it? Let somebody else have a chance. And
yeah.
Share the experience, because it's an amazing experience. And I truly hope that yourself and every other triathlete gets there, because it's awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's definitely a goal of mine. I will get there someday for sure.
You will. Yes, you will. Yeah.
So talk to me about, so you said 2016, you're making kind of the vegan connection. You're watching those documentaries. What physically, as somebody who was at that point already doing Ironmans and very physically fit, what changed from there on when you started vegan?
Great question. My mood was, I'm pretty energetic and upbeat, but I call it, I got another gear, at 40 so 48 or whatever, when I quit, you know, I'm 48-year-old man. Yes. I'm in quote shape, done a bunch of Ironmans, but wow. When I changed to being a vegan, it just enhanced it. I mean, I'm doing 14 races, I think, this year, you know, and I don't know if that's a lot or if it's not, but I'm like, I don't know too many 55-year-old guys that can not only do them, but recover and do like three weeks in a row, like I'm doing on this run, you know, and that is, it's 100%.
Dude, I don't know many 20, 20, 29, 30, 31-year-olds that can do that either.
It's totally on what I eat. My mood is better. My sleep is better. My focus is better. I mean, I feel like a teenager again, you know, minus the drug addiction I had when I was a teenager. I'm like, just like this energetic little, you know, energizer bunny, man. And it's great. You know, I've never felt so more, here's the word. I've never felt this clear. I am crystal clear in everything that I do now. And it's awesome, man. And I just wish that people would try it. Not one day, you know, but give it a go, man. And if your life sucks, then you can go back to eating dead animals, man. Well, preferably don't do that because it's not good for them, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I sort of have this theory, like, I think, like, having been an athlete my whole life and having been an athlete like before and eating the way I was, and then, you know, plant-based and eating the way I was, I just feel like as athletes, you have so much more awareness of how your body functions with different things in it.
Yes.
And so when I see kind of like average Joe, like, try a vegan diet and they maybe don't notice much because they're, you know, sitting at their office chair all day and not really doing anything physically taxing or challenging whatsoever, you know, maybe it's a little harder to understand the effect it does have on your body. And they probably need to do it for a much longer period of time to actually feel that as well. But as an athlete, you just know exactly, like, you know how your body performs on a Ironman with one thing in you versus the other thing. And that was like right away, like, I didn't need to see the science and all that. I did discover all that stuff and became very aware of it. But the second I felt it, and the second I, you know, I'm a few months in and I'm going out for a run and I feel like I can breathe for the first time, you know, like those things, I didn't need to learn anything more. Like, I knew right away, this is best for my body.
You know, I concur with that. I want to give you a story. I was connected on social media with a girl who's a vegan who does Ironmans, and we were both doing Ironman Chattanooga, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. And I said, well, I hope to see you down there. And, you know, there's 2,500 people doing these races or whatever. And I finished the race and she beelines over to me and it's like, Todd, hey, it's Aaron. Nice to meet you. And I go, how did you see me with all these people? And she goes, you're the only one walking around like you didn't do anything. And it really, that's back to, I felt it. You could feel it right away. When you are an athlete, you can feel it. And I started paying attention after races, after that, her comment, and I would look at people. And I understand that you've exercised, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours, whatever, but it looks like carnage a lot of times after a race like that. And I think it really doesn't have to be that way. You know, it shouldn't destroy you. And I think if people really would look into what they're eating, it would change them, because like your bodies, your muscles are inflamed after that. Then to go have a cheeseburger or a cheese pizza, you're adding to the inflammation. You're not decreasing it. But people just, I will give people a break when they don't know. But when you do know the facts of this, then it just becomes, you know, come on, man. What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What would you say the most common question from athletes, you know, being around athletes like every weekend that you are, like, what's the most common question when you're having a conversation with somebody?
Well, you know, the first thing a lot of time is, dude, where do you get your protein from? You know, and it's like, and my answer is I get it from the same place an animal does, a plant, right? And then I try and use humor like that. The other questions, I get a lot of people, I think, that are really puzzled. You know, they'll just go, really? No meat, no cheese, nothing, really? And the answer is no, none of it. So that's really the reaction I get. It's where you get your protein from. And then really people just questioning what they're seeing in me. And it's kind of it's kind of funny. Like they're just bewildered by it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's interesting, really. And even I want to get back to that science thing. I'm sure you've seen Game Changers, right?
Yeah, for sure.
When they draw the blood from the Miami Dolphin, a couple of those guys that is mind blowing
mm-hmm.
to see that. And then they also said how the one guy who ate vegan, he talked about how good he felt.
Totally.
And I think the other guy that ate the chicken thing or whatever said he felt like crap. And then they showed him his blood and he was like starting to make that connection. Right. So if you could take the feeling and then you put it with the science coupled with the fact that we're ruining our world and torturing innocent beings, it's a no-brainer that the whole world should go like this.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's funny that like people, when they take ibuprofen or they take like some sort of drug for something, they expect it to have an immediate impact on their physiology and their body. But for some reason, they can't make that connection to food, right? They eat a burger, they eat whatever. And it's like shocking that instantly, you know, messes with your blood and inflammation and starts clogging your arteries, like within, you know, 30 minutes after eating. It's not like, you know, for some reason, people view other things they put in their body very different than food. They don't think it has any impact. It's bizarre.
It's crazy. The top 10 killers in the, you're familiar with the book, How Not to Die?
Of course. That was probably my first book I read that actually I got it right here.
Yep. That a boy.
I'm actually having him on the show at the end of this month, actually.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Good for you. If you think of that, if you ask somebody, do you want to die from heart disease? No, of course not. Have you known somebody that's died from cancer? And everybody says yes. But read that book. They're dying from what they're eating, and they can reverse that stuff by what they stop eating and start eating. I've got a dear friend of mine. I've known these guys since I was in junior high school, and the girl has cancer. They found some lumps and she's got cancer. And I'm stressing to them. I'm like, please start eating plants. It's not about cutting the cancer out. You have to treat it systemically, but people don't, it's sad. It's sad to watch people's health just get absolutely destroyed. And they still refuse to give up on that stuff. Even when you're in the hospital, you know, my dad's a type 2 or type 1 diabetic. Sorry. They had to amputate half. They took his leg off last year, half of his leg. And I'm watching even the food that they're feeding him in the hospital post surgery, you know, and it's mind blowing. The stuff they're giving him is what causes diabetes.
Yeah. I had a similar experience recently with a family member in the hospital, actually an addiction related thing. And I'm just like, all right, we gotta get this, we gotta get this guy healed, you know, like we gotta get this guy some real food, you know. He had been having God knows what for so many years, along with, you know, a daily heap of alcohol. But, you know, I was like, we just gotta get this guy some green juice and some smoothies and some fruit in here. And, you know, this was during COVID as well, so you couldn't bring anything in the hospital.
Oh.
So they're giving them fucking sloppy joes and, you know, milkshakes. And like, that's literally what's on the menu at hospitals. And we're in Boston, you know, supposedly the best hospitals in the world with Mass General and all the, you know, big funded hospitals. And I was just so shocked. I haven't been in a hospital in years, man. And it's just like craziness. You know, you go there to heal and, you know, you're fed things that kill you.
You know, I love talking to you on this. And here's something I wish we would pose to society and certainly the medical field. What if we paid doctors on health instead of sickness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if they were forced to get paid by how well their patients were, we would open some, people would change. They'd be like, well, wait a minute. This is now affecting my income. Well, we got to do something different here.
Yeah. They'd be like, you better eat your goddamn vegetables. They'd be yelling at them. Right. They'd make sure the patient ate their vegetables the same way they make sure they take their medication.
Right.
You know? Yeah, even, no, exactly.
Sorry, Pat.
No, you're good, man. This is great.
Blew my mind when I read this. Because I was a pharmaceutical sales rep for a number of years. So we're all grown up on milk does a body good. You want strong bones, drink milk, right? Okay. When you start looking at this, statistically, the number one consumer of dairy is the United States. Who has the number one cases of osteoporosis? The United States. Mm-hmm. Guess what? There's a pill for that.
Yep.
You know, and it's just mind-boggling, man. Milk decalcifies your bones. It doesn't build them. But people keep, we could go on and on about this. It's frustrating.
We sure could. Yeah, you know? We sure could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's frustrating, you know, and it's frustrating. And I think you're right. Like when you tied this back at the beginning to, you know, what you do around recovery, you know, it's the same sort of thing where you're watching a loved one, you know, do what you know does not benefit them. And, you know, whether it's just they have high blood pressure that they're starting to take pills for, or cholesterol or whatever. And you're just like, man, you know, I know the answer to this, you know, yes. And, but they just won't hear it, you know, and I feel like it is that same conversation, with addiction as well.
It is, you know, the three things that have been the foundation of my sobriety and everything that I am fortunate to do are empathy, humility, and gratitude. It's on our t-shirts. It's in the books I've written. And you started off by asking me about, you know, the family aspect, and being vegan has enhanced not only those three words, it's given me more compassion. And I'm very empathetic towards what my choices with drugs and alcohol did to my family. And I'm very empathetic to people who are, they haven't seen the light yet, you know, and I'm just like you, buddy. I feel that we have been given a gift. And when you take that gift and you lead by example and try and present it in a kind, nurturing, non-combative way, I think we're doing what we should be doing on this earth. And I'm just grateful we connected, dude, seriously.
Yeah, same here, man. So tell me about, we got about 10 minutes if you got time.
Absolutely.
Is that
dude.
Cool?
Yeah.
So tell me about the books you've written. Tell me about like what you're actively doing, you know, on social media and all the stuff you're putting out.
Well, I wrote my first book, From Addict to Iron Man, that came out in 2006, that basically was, I was a drunk. I'm not a drunk. I'm doing Ironmans, and I started a nonprofit. And after that book came out, people started asking me, well, how do you do this stuff? So I wrote our second book called There's More Than One Way to Get to Cleveland, meaning there's more than one way to attain and sustain sobriety. Great results from that on a clinical level, because I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor that can diagnose co-occurring disorders. I can't prescribe meds, but I can diagnose. And the results from that book led me to write my third one called Choices and Consequences, that was just focusing on empowerment and the word choice, the benefits that come from making good choices nutritionally and physically and emotionally, and the consequences that don't. And now I'm going to have my fourth book coming out probably at the first of the year. That's just strictly going to be a factual vegan book, man. You know, just here's the facts. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm writing this book. I know it's going to piss some people off, but I want to put some facts out there and let people decide what they're going to do with them. You know, That's it. So I really think that my life is turning towards this topic, and using, you know, Ironman maybe as a platform to obviously promote the benefits of sobriety, but just as important to be a platform to promote, eating plants and not eating dead animals, you know, and I'm thankful for it, because I think if I just was doing this for Ironman and sobriety right now, I think I'd be running out of steam. But I truly believe that I've been given another calling, if you will, to get this message out about eating plants. And so I'm going to keep going for a while, not at the volume I'm doing right now, but I like meeting people. I like seeing different parts of the world, and I get to promote a good message. So why not keep going a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And then the documentary, when is that supposed to come out?
That, hopefully that'll be out probably at the end of, I'd say mid next year. You know, I'm working with some people out in, I call it La La Land, meeting some pretty significant people. Some of them I've watched their movies, and, you know, you're talking to them in person. It's kind of like, well, I never thought I'd be doing this. The movie thing, you know, I've got a feature film that's being written about my life too. And it's a long process. It's an Ironman metaphorically. So I'm in the game, as I like to say. You put things out there and you just kind of sit back and watch them happen. Just like, again, when I met you Sunday, I kept thinking about you. And when you passed me on the bike, I'm like, that's why I was here today. I was doing this race because, yeah, it's part of my movie I'm doing, but I met this guy for this. And I absolutely love that stuff. Think of how many people were there, and you and I just happened to be standing right next to each other.
I know we're in a mosh pit of 2,000 people, and in front of you is Eat Plants, Drink Beer. You know, it's just like, it's, you know, who knows how many vegans were there, and we're somehow right there. It is pretty crazy. Things, as you know, they happen exactly as they're meant to happen, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Can you share through your work, with the nonprofit, can you share maybe a story of somebody else that through your nonprofit has been really impactful or they've transformed their life, that stands out over the years?
There's hundreds, if not thousands, and probably thousands more that I'll never know. But I knew somebody who lost 100 pounds by coming into us. They were sober, got off their meds for high blood pressure, diabetes, and some other thing. Through exercise, lost 100 pounds, went plant-based. That's a huge success story. I've literally taken several people from addict to Ironman, actually becoming an Ironman. But more importantly, I don't want to say I've helped. I've given people a map that they can help themselves, and they've gotten their kids back. Their families have come back in their lives. They graduated from high school, or they've graduated from college. Some of them are working at Racing for Recovery now. So there's success stories in abundance. We have our own vegan chef who was a former client of ours. You know, those are some things that I stand back sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I lived in my car, man, and was, you know, doing every drug out there. And by making one decision to stop doing drugs, it's given me this life that I never thought was possible. And not only that, it's allowed me to be a part of other people doing it for themselves. And I think that's really what we're all supposed to do on this earth, is just use our talents, whatever they are, for the good of others. We can't just take what has been graciously given and hoard it for ourselves. You have to give it back, or I believe it's going to be taken from you and given to somebody else who's going to do something with it. And I'm very cognizant of what I have. And that's why I'm so willing to do what I do for as many people as I can, because I don't want to lose this for me. And I want to be a part of other people doing it for somebody else.
Beautiful stuff, man. Beautiful stuff. Is there anything we haven't covered that is important to know about you?
Yeah, there's one thing here. I have to know, are you a Bruins fan or not?
You know, you probably won't like this either way. I'm just not a hockey fan.
Erase the whole show.
Yeah, man. I didn't play it growing up. I just never really got into it. I guess if I had to pick one, I'm a Bruins fan.
But I can't say I follow it or watch any of it, to be quite honest. Well,
let's switch gears then. You've been to Fenway, I assume, right?
So we just opened up Plant Pub right at the gate of Fenway Park.
Really?
Yeah, it's this big old brewery. It was like a famous brewery for many years called Boston Beer Works. And that's where our second location is. Awesome. So I know Fenway Park. I'm at Fenway Park every day. I was just there this morning.
Beautiful. Yep. Well, the only time I've been there, I saw Pearl Jam out there in 2018. And I'm coming out for the Aerosmith show in September.
Nice. So
I'll be able to come to your place.
Oh, hell yeah. Let me know.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay, you can keep the show then. We bonded on that.
All right. All right, man. Well, give us your website, give us your Instagram and all that stuff so people can follow.
Racingforrecovery.org, toddcrandall.com, Sober Ultraman is, I think, my Instagram deal. I'm on Twitter. I can't figure out Snapchat yet, but yep. We're out there, you know? So yeah, if anybody's having a problem with addiction or, you know, wants to talk about the plant stuff that we've talked about, you know, please get a hold of me. You know, I'll send you a copy of our book or whatever, however I can help somebody or their families, let me know. I do want to say this: every Thursday night at 6:30 on the Racing for Recovery Facebook page, we have a free live stream support group meeting. It's available for everybody. You tune in. It's like free therapy. There's a chat on there. If you want to interact with people, please utilize that, man. It's a cool thing. You don't have to worry about being noticed or your neighbor's going to see you if you're worried about that, but we're here to help people. And I want that to be the main thing that your listeners hear from me today.
I love it. I love it, man. Well, shout out to you. You are inspiring people, but you're changing lives in a very serious way. And I am beyond grateful to have connected with you the other day. And I know we'll stay connected for sure.
Killer. I'll see you in September and I'll have you on my show when I do another recording of them, man.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Cool, bud. Take it easy.
Pleasure, man.
See you, buddy. Bye.